My guest today is someone who has been a friend of mine for a long time, and I can honestly say his entire family is just a fan favorite of mine. Mike Mahoney hired me as a law clerk. Betty Mahoney saved my math grade. Dan Mahoney has been a good friend, and his grandparents, Francis X, Frank, and Ruth, are rock stars in my eyes. As a matter of fact, Ruth was with my grandfather for a number of years doing radio, so it's really, really cool. But I'm with the creme de la creme of the group. I'm here with Tim Mahoney. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Tim. Great to be here. Thank you so much for asking me to do this. I'm honored to be here.
Well, I'm glad. And you look great in your Tim Beck 2 t-shirt.
I know. I'm super excited. I think I'll do my next commercial in this shirt.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll do Good Day State Line wearing your shirt so that everybody can ask, what the heck is that?
What's that? Microphone with a smiley face. Hey, I'm glad that you're here today, too, because you and I have great conversations and we should probably do podcasts every day. But I think it's one of these things that we spread our conversations out left and right for everything. And I think it's just one of these things that some things we've talked about in the past, I'd like to talk about. Number one, when someone badmouths Freeport or just says, oh, whatever Freeport, this and that, what do you say to them?
So, my first question is always, where else have you been that you like better? And I think my experience in that situation is many times they really haven't been to a lot of other places that they like better. If they have, then it's like, okay, great. What are the advantages of that different location? And then what are the disadvantages here? My belief, my hallucination is, when you grow up in an area, you take for granted the things about that area that are so unique and so important to that area. And that's not something that's special to Freeport. I think that's what happens everywhere. People that grow up near the ocean, they take for granted that they grow up near the ocean and that there's beaches and they can do things. You go to New York, half the native New Yorkers have never been to the Statue of Liberty. They've never been to Ellis Island. They don't know the impact of that period of time in this country that it has on the country now. They don't go back and study that history. They don't do the walking tours of Lower Manhattan to learn the very beginnings of this country. They just take all that for granted. And then they come somewhere else and go, wow, this is amazing. And, you know, I now with the Robbins organization have friends all over the world, literally all over the world. And when I talk to them about, you know, the Freeport Doctrine and the Lincoln Douglas debates and the impact that that had, I mean, they can't wait to come here and see the spot and see where Teddy Roosevelt did the dedication.
Exactly.
And, right. We grew up hearing about that. So it was like, oh God, you're going to talk about the Lincoln Douglas debates. You know, how many times have we heard about the Lincoln Douglas debates? Well, they're pretty important. I remember my ex-wife and I had a lady from Mauritius that stayed with us for a period of time when Hillary Clinton took a bunch of women who were rising in power in politics in countries where that was very new, Saudi Arabia, those areas. Well, this lady was from Mauritius. And so they were doing a tour across the United States and they stopped here because of the Lincoln Douglas debates. And so she stayed with us. Well, she was Hindu, so she wanted to see the Mississippi River. And we're like, okay, where do we go? So we went to Palisades Park. I'm like, I've never been there. Let's go to Palisades Park. So my then wife and I take her to Palisades Park and we get out of the car and we look around and we go, this is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. It's extraordinary. We're 30 miles from it. We've never gone and looked at it, even though you hear songs written. Well, why? Well, because it's close. So there are a tremendous number of wonderful things about Freeport that I think most people just take for granted because this is where they grew up and they want to focus on the things that aren't as good as we would like them to be.
You know, you talked about Good Morning State Line and your Robbins and all the other great things that you do. You could go anywhere. You could be anywhere. The way your personality is, as talented as you are, all the great things that you've done. Why do you continue to stay here?
Well, you're very generous, first of all. Secondly, we're in my home. I built a big stupid house that I couldn't sell. No, I'm just kidding. I did do that. I did do that. I did build the big stupid house, and that did, you know, make me feel like I was tied to the area for a period of time. When I got out of law school, I came back to Freeport because there was a job, and quite frankly, finding a job anywhere else was difficult. And had I been offered a job somewhere else, I probably would have taken it. Many of my friends did do that. Got jobs in Chicago, got jobs in Washington, D.C., or went elsewhere. Almost all of them ended up coming back to their hometowns, whether it was, you know, Dixon or Schaumburg or Northbrook or Freeport. At the end of the day, I stay here for several reasons. Number one, I see the good things that other people seem to not want to pay attention to. This is home, and you and I have talked about that. This is home. This is where we grew up. This is where our families have been. You know, this is my family's third generation here in Freeport. The town has been great to us. The town's been great to my entire family, even though we don't necessarily, and I think this is an asset, we don't necessarily look at things the same way many people in the town do. That's never been held against us. And in fact, that has been looked at as a positive. You know, we approach life a little bit differently, and that's a good thing. The town is located to many, many places that I love. I just got back today from Chicago. My wife and I spent the night in Chicago. You're an hour and a half from O'Hare. You're an hour from Madison. You're an hour and a half, hour, 45 minutes from Milwaukee, hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes from the Quad Cities. It is a beautiful area that has a lot of advantages. And yeah, there was a period of time where I could have gone and worked anywhere and moved anywhere else. I'll be honest, there haven't been very many places that I've gone that I love to visit a lot of places. But when I think about actually moving there and living there, I haven't found a lot of places that I would rather be than this area.
You are incredibly generous. You see a lot of Eats and Beats, musicals, plays, so many other Brewfest, all of these other opportunities I see Mahoney and Mahoney. You are very generous to a lot of activities that take place in Freeport and the surrounding area. Why do you do that?
I think that's how it's supposed to work. You know, I had tremendous opportunities, right? I mean, you and I have known each other since we were kids. You know, I mean, college wasn't an if for me. It was a when and where. And I got to graduate from college without any debt. Now, I worked three jobs while I was in college. But still, it's not like I had to worry about all that. I didn't. I did worry about whether or not I could get my butt into law school, which I had managed to do. But when I got out, I had a job. And not only did I have a job, I was part owner of a law firm simply because of my genetics. So there were a tremendous amount of advantages. Now, with those there are negatives that come with that experience, but I had a tremendous amount of credibility when I walked into that law firm with clients simply because of my last name. I certainly knew a lot of people, and I learned as I became a lawyer that I had a huge level of experience and understanding of how the law works, and in particular, how judges work, that very few people did. And also an understanding of how to communicate with my clients in a way that not many lawyers had. A huge amount of advantages. I was raised especially by, you know, my grandfather, by my grandparents, Frank and Ruth, that when you have those advantages, you have an obligation to give back. You have to give back and help others. You know, each one teach one, each one lift somebody else up. And so I decided early on that there were certain things that I was going to support. I was going to support certain community events. I was going to support the arts. And I've been a heavy supporter of that because of my daughter's desire in that area. And in particular, because of you and I knew each other for a very long time, and what you've done with the arts in Freeport has been tremendous. So
thank you.
Yeah, no, you've been great. So, that's part of how it works. You know, like I said, the town's been very good to my family. It's been very good to me. So, you know, I've watched a lot of people who have done really well in this town, and then they've picked up their money and they've moved to, you know, South, they've moved to Florida, they've moved to, you know, wherever. Well, that's ridiculous. You know, if you do really well in a town, then you owe it to the town to give back and to help out that community. And you know, you're not going to see me do that. And in fact, I've actually, you know, I'm actually growing bigger roots in this town. I'm acquiring more properties. And my, I got remarried in 2020 and my wife and I love to travel and we will travel a lot, but you know, for me, this is home base and will continue to be home base. And I bought a building downtown and did a tremendous amount of renovations to that.
And it's beautiful. Well, it's a beautiful building.
And we continue to acquire properties and we will continue to do that and invest in the community the way I think, you know, people should. And a lot of people have done that. There are a lot of people that you can name that have had a huge positive impact on this community. This subdivision that I'm sitting in, Woody Bird and Matt Marvin and Bruce Helm, you know, they never made a dime on this subdivision. I know that because I know when they sold me this lot to build this house 21 years ago, they finally broke even on this. So they never made any money on this subdivision, but it's one of the nicest communities in town. It's a tremendous resource in terms of real estate tax revenue. You know, they did a real positive thing for the community by doing this and by doing many other things. And Matt Marvin was a big instigator in Highland Community College. So, you know, there is a tradition of that I think needs to continue, that when you've had a great deal of success and the town has treated you well, then you have to pay that forward.
So Midday Michelle, your buddy, and I always chat about her because I just love the chemistry between you two. And I love it when she has you talk history, because you love history and especially Freeport history. And I know a lot about Lincoln Douglas, but I don't really talk about it much anymore. But I think you should, because whenever you talk about it, it just explodes. Why should people be proud of the fact of looking at that water tower and seeing Lincoln and Douglas debate? Why should they be proud of the fact that Teddy Roosevelt came into town and dedicated that boulder? Why should they be proud of the fact that the Lincoln Douglas debates are in Freeport?
You don't have to know a lot about history to know that the ending of the Civil War was one of the biggest moments in this country's history. There's a reason that Lincoln is looked at as the greatest president by many in the history of the country, even though he was only there a few years. Lincoln was the one that had the vision that said, we have to end slavery by an amendment to the Constitution. Everybody around him told him it couldn't happen. It wasn't possible. And remember, Abe had had nothing but failure in his life up until that point. He had lost election after election after election. He had gone bankrupt more than once. He had had nervous breakdowns. His wife had had nervous breakdowns. I mean, this guy had seen nothing but failure up until the point that he wins the presidential election. And when he does win the presidential election, he's the one that says it has to be an amendment to the Constitution. If we just pass a law, the next president that comes along from the South will take that law away. And this country will still be dealing with the issue of slavery. And once and for all, that needs to end. We've shed enough blood. Well, the only reason Lincoln got into the White House was because of the debate that happened in Freeport, Illinois. If you go to Disney World, which, you know, I'm a huge fan. Mm-hmm. My ex and daughter and I did 15 trips to Disney World. We loved it so much. And you go to Epcot, every country in Epcot has a little, you know, ride or show or something that tells you about their country. Well, the one in the far back in the middle is the United States. And for the United States, it's a video. It's about a 90, I think it's, no, it's a little bit longer. It's like 4 minute movie. Well, a good 30 seconds of that movie is dedicated to the Freeport Doctrine. That's how important it is in the United States history. It was because of that debate that ultimately Lincoln got the nomination and the Democratic Party and the Democratic South split. So there were two parties. Douglas got one nomination and another candidate got another. And because of that, the brand new Republican Party headed by Lincoln started in Ripon, Wisconsin. He was able to win the election, got elected the president of the United States. He was the only one that had the vision that it had to be an amendment to the United States Constitution to get rid of slavery. And because of that, slavery ended. Because of that, the Civil War ended. And because of that, the country has not had to deal with that ever since. And that's why he's looked at as the greatest president ever. And that all happened because of the conversation that happened in Freeport, Illinois.
See, when Mahoney talks about history, it just pops. And also, if you're ever in Ottawa, Illinois, take a look at the statue downtown of the Ottawa, of the Lincoln Douglas debate statue in Ottawa. You have Lincoln looking like, I've really screwed up. And Douglas basically yelling at him like, man, don't you want to win? Well, and then comes to Freeport and goes, yeah, I better do this. And he did it. You know, I always we could do a 20-minute, 25-minute podcast on your dad, on your mom. But for these next few minutes, I want to talk about Frank and Ruth. And the reason I do is I really think they were ahead of their time. And you can explain them more. I mean, I worked for Mahoney for a few years, and I picked Frank up a couple of times. And one time I picked Frank up at the airport, and he goes to me, if we had a couple extra days, we'd go back to Boston and see a Cub game or a Red Sox game. But, and I love Frank, but Ruth worked with my grandfather and sat me down and told me things about my grandfather that I never knew. They worked at WACI together. And it was just listening to story time whenever we listened to Ruth. And it was like party time whenever you listened to Frank. Am I right? Were they ahead of their time?
Ruth in particular was ahead of her time. She was very Eleanor Roosevelt in terms of her approach to life and was very much ahead of her time. As you know, they were a huge influence on my life. My parents and grandparents were both very young when I was born. And so I spent a tremendous amount of time with Ruth and Frank. And I think this is true with a lot of people. I mean, you know, one of the coolest things to do is to go to a senior living center and ask them, tell me somebody whose family doesn't visit them, and go sit down and talk to that person and ask them their life story. One of the great things about the job that I have is I learn about people's life stories. And those people who survived World War II, they lived extraordinary lives. Things were so turned upside down during that period of time. We forget what the country did, you know, how Ford Motor Company switched over and started turning out airplanes instead of cars. And in a matter of months, switched from doing cars to airplanes and made hundreds of airplanes to help the United States. We forget about, you know, how the high schools did two sets of classes. They did a set of classes for the regular kids during the day, and then for the kids who got married before the guys went off to war, who were 13, 14, 15 years old, because that was very common at that time. They were working in factories, building things. So they did another set of high school classes at night so that those kids could all graduate from high school. Mostly women could all graduate from high school. It was an extraordinary time, and Ruth and Frank were not exceptions. Frank was a senior in college when Pearl Harbor happened. He was the oldest of nine in Boston, you know, typical Boston Irish Catholic. He enlists in the Navy, ends up at Navy Pier in Chicago, waiting for his boat to be built. And he meets this 18-year-old girl from Portage, Wisconsin, who had not yet graduated high school. They were married within a couple of weeks. Again, when you were getting deployed, not uncommon during that period of time. He goes off to the South Pacific, ends up not having to go all the way to Japan because of Harry Truman, who was his hero because he didn't have to go all the way to Japan. They come back and he goes to Northwestern Law School, and they had a child right before he left, my dad, and he originally went to Park Falls in Ashland, Wisconsin to practice law way, way, way up north. Came to Freeport, Illinois, because he got hired by General Casualty. You know, Freeport for a century had a huge hub of insurance industry here. And there's a great story as to why that is in Freeport, Illinois. So Frank comes back and, you know, immediately builds a house and starts growing roots in the town. And Ruth was an incredible, she was a local celebrity. She had a radio show that everybody in this area listened to. And if you were running for anything, whether it was Illinois House or Senate, United States Congress, Senator, Governor, doesn't matter, you went on Ruth Mahoney's radio show, and you had to in order to get the votes in this area because everybody listened to her. She was Phil Donahue, if your listeners even know who that is, who was the precursor to Oprah. Well, she was the precursor to Phil Donahue, and she had a huge following. She was very, very serious about what she did. And it was back in the day where people actually had conversations about topics. And if you called up and you got, you were insulting, you got cut off. You could only call up and ask legitimate questions. And then the people that were on the station, whomever that would be, would give legitimate answers, you know, where you could really talk to people about topics and ideas. And so everyone could make an informed decision. You know, back when Lincoln and Douglas did their debates, the prior debates, and you know this, the prior debates between them were published in the local paper verbatim. And the watchers of the debates would have those papers and they would go through to see if they stayed consistent with their positions. They were fact checking them. And this was very common with politicians to see if, did they say the same thing that they did last time or were they changing their tune? Which is why the conversation between Lincoln and Douglas was such a big deal that happened in Freeport, Illinois, because Lincoln put it to the test. Are you an abolitionist or not? So Ruth was that person who was way ahead of her time. And so was Frank. You know, Frank thought, coming from Boston and being a friend of the Kennedys, which he was, he thought differently than many of the people in this area. And he brought a different approach. And when he got elected to judge, he's the only judge in this circuit, which is five counties, Stevenson, Joe Davies, Ogle, Carroll, and Lee, the only one elected as a Democrat since the Civil War. That says a lot about him. But it also says a lot about the people that voted for him, because he was elected circuit wide. He had to run in all five counties and he won. So that shows that when the candidate is really the right candidate, then party lines don't matter all that much. I still think that's true, by the way, even though it doesn't seem like it.
Right. I think so too. We could do another podcast about that. I just to tie this up a little bit. I remember when we used to do bids for Bulldogs and Ruth kind of spearheaded that
in the building I now occupy.
That's what I was going to say. Tie it all together. I remember the first time walking into that Continental Cablevision and I got to run the board and I got to do that and walked in there. And just walking into your office now, there's that same little bit of feel of, wow, this is where a lot of history took place. It has been a great amount of time speaking with you today, and let's do this again sometime.
I would love to, Tim. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you for doing this.
Hey, thank you.